The Colorado Avalanche invited the Florida Panthers to the Pepsi Center for a game of puck, and being the very gracious hosts that they are, they allowed the Panthers to score more goals and leave with smiles on their faces. Sadly, this hospitality is not sustainable for a hockey club looking to make the playoffs for the first time in a long time. I don't even remember how long it's been. I'm pretty sure it was Patrick Waugh's first year, actually. Yeah. Check it out. Here's a song about Patrick Waugh.
Avs fam. Well, I guess you had enough of all this hockey coaching stuff, and now you're off to that old golf course in the sky. But whatever, Patty, see ya. We got a new coach to coach and lead us. Tell me why you had to be so Patty Waugh. Why you had to be so Patty Waugh? Why? Why you had to be so Patty Waugh? Why? Why you had to be so Patty Waugh? Why you had to be so Patty Waugh? Now the core is getting older, but the chip up on your shoulder and the decisions that Joe didn't let you make, the man's got you tripping mad, and we all know that Patty don't play that. Tell me why you had to be so Patty Waugh? Ah, peace out, Patty Waugh. No hard feelings. Hashtag next era.
You know, if there's one thing I'm pretty sure of, is that Patrick Waugh wasn't really the problem. He might have been part of the problem, he might have been a combination of things that were a problem when he was here, but currently, he's not the reason that we're not playing good. The reason we're not playing good is a cliffhanger, we'll tell you in the end. So let's look at the game that was, and we'll take it period by period because that makes good sense. Period 1 was uneventful, which, believe it or not, is a step in the right direction for a team that has developed a reputation for spotting visiting teams' early first period goals. Of the Avs players, Landy really stood out as a player on a mission. How, you might ask, which is a really good question because a lot of people like to throw around that this player is doing this and this player is doing that. Well, how do you know that they're playing good hockey? Well, in this case, Landy is attacking the puck when he doesn't have it. He's getting there first, he's battling for it, and he's usually coming out of the corner with it. That's awesomeness. But when he does have the puck, even more impressive to me is he's showing a lot of poise and trying to find that high percentage play instead of freaking out and just throwing the puck around the boards. Another player that had spurts of goodness, we'll call it, not greatness, but goodness, is John Mitchell. The guy can actually handle the puck pretty well, and when he gets it off of a stick, he has a pretty good shot. His problem is he likes to hold on to it for too long, and then he forgets that he can do it for, I don't know, 5 or 6 games at a time, and then he has a brilliant move, and he does something that makes you go, why isn't he on one of the first two lines? And then you go, oh yeah, because he only does it every 5 games. But I submit to you that we should know this by now. We know who John Mitchell is. We know the J. Mitch. We know what he's going to do and what he's not going to do, so we shouldn't get too excited. We'll take his little bursts of brilliance and we'll just settle for who he is in the end. Chances are he won't be around here for long anyways. It's true. I believe that John Mitchell will be leaving the team. I think that sometime around the trade deadline, he's going to go play for a team that has a better chance of making the playoffs than we do, and that's great for him. I think J. Mitch needs that. He's at the end of his career, and it'd be great for him to compete at least one more time that way. But while you're here, J. Mitch, we need you to score, buddy. We need you to play a good game. We need you to help us be better. And speaking of being better, wow, that comment can go in any direction with this team. Picks and his psychic ping had a good showing in the first period, stopping all of the pucks that were launched their way. Picks made some pretty brilliant saves, and he kept us in the game the way that you're supposed to do as a starting goaltender.
Good thing.
So by the time that the first period was coming to an end, two things were very clear to me. One, there would be no domination. Neither team was going to pull away with it. Neither team was going to blur the other team out. It was going to be one of those weirdly close games that was going to have a bad bounce or somebody's going to make a stupid play, and the other team was going to win by one, maybe two, depending on how open the net was at the end of the game. But the second thing is something I don't even like to bitch about that much because it's just a part of the game. That would be the refs. The thing with the refs is that you can pretty much go with whatever they want to do so long as they do that consistently, but it's been anything but consistent lately. The refs have phantom calls that they're making and then they completely miss other calls, and it's not just against the Avs. Jágr spent some time in the box whining, bitching, moaning, complaining because he never actually touched the Avs player on the penalty that he got. I'll take that every day of the year, but the fact of the matter is I'd rather play a game with consistency where we know what's going to happen and how hard we can play. It's been in the last few games that we've played games that are rough and tough, and you can beat a guy up until you get to the last 4 or 5 minutes of the game, and then the refs change their mind and we lose the game because somebody takes a stupid penalty or a penalty that wasn't stupid in the first half of the game. But as I said, there's a human element. There's a part of the game that we just have to deal with. We have to win games even if the refs are being stupid, even if they're not being consistent. And as long as we're going down that rabbit hole, why aren't they getting better? Don't they have video? Can't they see the stuff that they're missing or not doing? Why can't they get together and go, hey, bro, I didn't see it that way? They never did any of that. They never talked to each other about what was going on. It was, I made that call, and that's the call that's going to be on the ice. Just fine. Mess up once or twice, but you got to get yourself together. You got to check yourself every now and then. And I don't feel like the refs ever do that. I do believe that was a rant. It's over. After one period of hockey, both teams went to their separate locker rooms where they shared wine and cheese or whatever it is they do in between periods, and they came out ready to play hockey in the second period.
Period 2.
The second period, unlike the first period, featured this fun, fancy new thing called goals. Two of them were scored in this period, one by Fedor Tuten, and that was his first as an Avalanche player and his first of the year. Now, while getting your first goal with the team is a big deal, I have to give all the credit on this one to Nathan MacKinnon. There was two assists on the play, one from Duchesne, one from MacKinnon. Emphasis on MacKinnon as he did a nice sauce pass straight across the ice to hit Tuten, who put it on net and it happened to trickle in. The goal light went on, a goal song was played, players rejoiced, and we carried on. Now at this point, it's important to remember a couple of things. One, the Avalanche are ahead after playing a so-so game of hockey, good enough though to be ahead in the second period. The other thing to remember is the Avalanche are lucky and they could have been ahead by a lot more had they cashed in on any of their five power play chances to this point. I emphasize this moment because it's important to realize that we'd be ahead by two goals at this point, and a bad bounce wouldn't hurt us nearly as much as a bad bounce did hurt us. In fact, that bad bounce was a kick. This is a bit of a controversial moment because a lot of Avs fans, grasping onto whatever they can find, really thought that this guy kicked it in the net. What I saw was a guy who got hit in the skates with the puck, tried to get it out to a stick, it went in the net. He didn't necessarily kick it, he just did what every player does when the puck hits him in the feet. They try to get it up to their stick, and it went in the net. Now believe me, I would love to see that go the other way. If I was in Toronto, I would have lied my ass off to make sure that the Avs got that goal back and they were still ahead. But the fact of the matter is, a bad bounce killed us, or we killed ourselves by not scoring on any of five power play chances. But nonetheless, the Avs were still in this thing going into the third period. It was a 1-1 game, which is essentially a 0-0 game, which means it's anybody's game and anything can happen. Guess what happened? The Avalanche got their sixth power play chance of the night. And on this one, not only did they not score, but they gave up a shorthanded goal, which really just killed them in the end. Riley Smith put in a shorthanded goal, pass picks, 5-hole. Maybe it was good, maybe it wasn't. I think he should have had it. The Avs were down, reverting back to their hero mode, where they get 10 minutes to try to come back. And stop me if you heard this before, but they basically play the kind of hockey that they should have been playing all game long with a lot of pressure, a lot of offensive chances, yet they don't find a way to put it in the net. The Avs lose in a 3-1 game.
What the fuck, Avs?
That's right, folks. Plot twist. The Avs got the first goal of the game and still found a way to lose at home. It was right about at this point that people started to truly lose their minds. And we've been losing a fan here and there for quite a while, but this game put a lot of people over the edge, which brings us to our new feature. Colorado Hockey presents
League Leaks.
We decided it wouldn't be cool to actually include people's names because we get it. You get caught up in the heat of the moment, but the tweets are so good we couldn't let those go. So here comes mean tweet number one from guy somewhere who's really pissed off. The Kroenke family should be absolutely embarrassed to call themselves owners of the Avs because they don't care at all about this team. I hear you, random stranger. Let it all out, bro. But here's the thing. I think the Kroenke family does care because they care about money. And if their team's not making money, then they're not going to be very happy. So I think what's really killing the Avs right now is this whole salary cap thing. Some bad drafting over the years and maybe a flub here and there by the management. Who knows? And another mean tweet from some other mean guy who's somewhere and doesn't like the Avs right now. 4 home wins all year. 7 winless game streak at the can. Horrible. Hashtag Avs. Hashtag I agree. And lastly, my favorite mean tweet of them all, and by far the biggest insult of all. This feels like the Sacco years, yet worse somehow. Might be time to ignore the Avs for a while like I did then. Hashtag harsh on that one. All right, I agree. The Avs are bad. No doubt. The fans are pissed. That's an understatement. For those of you that need to vent, go for it. For those of you who need to publicly disown the Avs, by all means, do it. But for those of you who stick in there and keep your chin up even when we know it's bad times, good on you. Win or lose, sports creates communities of people who stick together because they're both cheering for the same team, because they care for the same team. I cast no judgment on those of you bailing and lashing out at the team, but take it easy on your fellow brother. We all love the team just the same. For the people who are still in it, don't put them down. Let them have their moment, bro. They're going to be here for the team regardless, and that's a good on them. Some of us remember what it was like to not have an NHL team at all, and that sucks. And if this team goes away, there's not a chance in hell we're getting another NHL team anytime soon. So I'm happy to have a team right now that does have a chance to get better because it's the only thing they can do at this point. And if you think the fans are beating the team up, wait until you hear some of the comments from the team, who are absolutely beating themselves up because they don't love this any more than anybody else. They're not just collecting checks. They want to win, folks. They want to have a legacy. They want to be looked on as a player who had a good career. And right now, nobody's playing that kind of hockey. So let's see what the locker room had to say in our brand new feature called
Hockey Babble.
Oh yes, the fine art of hockey babble, where a player says a lot of things without saying anything at all. Behold. You know, we haven't gotten the results that we want in the last couple games, but I thought we did a lot of good things for sure. We just have to put it behind us now and get ready to go play in Winnipeg. Honestly, I could attribute those exact words to about 3 of the guys that were in the locker room speaking, but that one in particular came from Calvin Pickard. In a little bit less of a hockey babble, Coach Bednar went on to say the power play is supposed to be a difference maker for us. It ended up being a difference maker for them. Some profound and true words from Coach Bednar that are short enough to be on a fortune cookie and profound enough to be in this podcast. But we're not done. We have some quotes from the captain that are borderline hockey babble. Landy noted that even if you have the extra man on the power play, you have to outnumber the other team in the battles. We're in last place, folks. Don't be afraid to have a little humor in this situation. There's only one way to go from here. I think we've officially beat this horse to death now. This and every other show that we do is brought to you by AvSpam, AvSfam.com. Super awesome hockey shirts for super awesome hockey people. You should go check it out. If you get something now, it might be there by Christmas. Who knows? We'll try. www.avsfam.com. If you like this podcast, tell your friends about it and then go subscribe. Go to iTunes and search for Colorado Hockey, or go to Colorado Hockey and click on the button that says get it on iTunes. That simple. You're awesome, people. Stay awesome.
It's game night at the Gan and the crowd is getting fizzy. Motion's on the air, doing work and getting busy. The boys are in the hall, getting loose with soccer ball.